Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network here on a Monday morning, bringing you guys some linebacker talk. Trev, we went in what, interior defensive line, and I thought we handled ourselves pretty well that week. We had a four-day week for us. Then we came back with edge defenders, gave our top fives that week for both interior defensive line and edge defenders this past Thursday.
Hold on, I got a question. You went back and watched Brian Burns a little bit from Florida State, and I just want to ask you right now, if you had to do your top five again, would he be in there?
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I really appreciate that to compensate for my mistake on Thursday. Yes, Thursday night I got like four more games of him, watched them, and he would for sure be in there. I think after Bosa, it would be between Sweat and Burns for two and three. Those guys are that talented that they could be in that mix. So thank you for the opportunity to go back and kind of clear that record. I kind of hinted at that on Friday, too. Yeah, I appreciate
that. Yeah, Venmo me the $10 you said for bringing this up.
Oh, $10. Is that it? Okay. I thought it was going to cost me more than that. But John Owning was on Friday, and he helped us break down some edge defenders, offered some of his thoughts, which was very helpful. Also told us why octopus are things that we should be... Octopi?
I think it's octopi.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there are things that we should be scared of.
Was the word. Remember that?
Cephalophobia, yes, a fear of octopi, which is now something that Trevor and I both have. I hope that, I mean, I don't know whether it's, you know, John told us about his honeymoon, and this is where the octopus story came from. I don't know what kind of stories Connor Rogers is going to have from Bleacher Report, but he is on with us on the show today to talk linebackers, but mostly to tell us about the amazing trip he just went on. Connor, my man, how are you doing?
I'm good, guys. What's going on? I appreciate you having me, and I like the new intro, the Draft Network now. I'm pretty excited for that.
I know. What is it? I think two more Mondays? Is that
we
it?
Have
just
two
this
weeks.
One and one more?
2 weeks.
And
correct.
It's pretty excited.
Pretty exciting. Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it, man. But your trip, man. So tell us about your trip. You told us before we hit the record button here, you haven't really worked on the month of July because you've been on this great, amazing trip. Tell us about the progression. I know you started in Amsterdam and kind of worked your way around to some different places. What kind of prompted it, and what all did you do that stood out on the trip?
Well, last year was the first year I didn't travel and really take a real vacation in between the season. And I felt that I burnt out a lot earlier this year. I mean, I powered through it, but when you start to get into the 200 plus prospect range, you're like, man, this is an absolute grind. And this was like December last year. So I thought this year I was like, I'm going to take 2 weeks vacation. I'm going to go away and just do something I've never done before. And that's really just kind of go to Europe on my own. I had friends to see along the way and to stay with and all that fun stuff. But I really wanted to go out there on my own and just kind of recharge myself. And on the flip side of it, it worked. I couldn't be more excited to go back to work and back to watching players and excited for football more than ever to start. I mean, God, the headlines right now are absolutely unbearable. So I can't wait till we get real training camp practices, real football again, and of course college football. I'm more excited than ever. But I got a little lucky on this trip because I ended up in Belgium when Belgium played in the semifinal, and I was there in France when France won a World Cup. So it was pretty out of control. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. I can't say I was on the streets of Philadelphia when they won the Super Bowl this year, but one of my best friends I was with actually was, because he lived in Philly at the time, and he was with me in Paris at the time, and said, this is wild, because it's now on a country perspective, not just a city perspective, of people celebrating, and it means the world to them. I mean, there's tears, there's mayhem, there's screaming, and of course, it literally exploding in your face, but I mean, once in a lifetime experience for a different kind of football, and it was really cool.
That's amazing. It sounds like the kind of trip that would be worth taking some time away from draft prospects for, especially this time of year. It's good to, you know, get away from all that, detach yourself a little bit, and then come back to it. No sooner
did you
were
plan
you back.
That? Hey, did you plan that? Did you plan it for like the World Cup time, or was that kind of just like an added bonus? It was just around the time when the World Cup was going on.
It was really an added bonus. I mean, with this job and with what I do, I knew that I always like to make a list of about 100 players, 50 to 100 players that I know I'm going to get a really, really good grasp on just from the summer alone. So after the draft, I mean, I really didn't take any time off after all that coverage of the draft. I just started watching players for about 2 months and said, okay, the first 2.5 weeks of July, I'll pretty much be completely off the grid. And as I was looking at the dates, I was sitting there saying, well, damn, that's kind of the quarterfinal, semifinal, and final for the World Cup, and I knew a couple of my stops were with some pretty damn good teams, with Belgium and France being two of the favorites, which is pretty cool. And I wanted to be there for Bastille Day. That was the reason I was in Paris.
Right.
And I got Bastille Day on Saturday and a World Cup championship on Sunday. That's and crazy. A wicked hangover on Monday.
I bet.
Well,
I bet.
Sadly, what Trevor, you wrote a piece about what NFL teams correlated with which World Cup teams. And this is going to probably
hurt. It was really cool.
This might hurt with Connor, but because Connor's a Jets fan, but the Giants were was France, correct?
Yep, so, it was.
I mean,
not an ideal.
I get it.
There were so many. When I did that piece, obviously, you're not going to have every NFL team perfectly correlate with World Cup teams. But no joke, France being the Giants was one of the very first ones that popped into my head, just because Pogba and Odell being flashy the way that they are. Mbappe being Saquon Barkley with the age, Lloris, the guy in the back, being Eli Manning. He's hot and cold, but it still goes through him. He's still the captain. Like, all of this stuff for France and the New York Giants was just so spot on to me. So it's weird that's the one that stuck and that those guys were the ones that actually won it. But I thought the personalities were very similar on both sides. So.
Yeah,
I think those are really good ties to draw, no doubt. And even when you talk to the French fans, I actually have a couple of friends that are from France, live in Paris, that I met on another trip. So I met up with them, and then you know the way they talk about their favorite players is so similar to the NFL fan, whether it's good or bad. So it's an interesting tie to make.
Yeah. That's wild. No sooner do you get back and we throw some work right at you, we say, hey, do you want to jump on our pod with us and talk about three linebacker prospects that we think are noteworthy in this class? And they are Devin White, Devin Bush, and TJ Brunson from South Carolina. And wanted to throw all those three names out there because I think, as I watched them anyway, I got kind of a similar vibe from all three of them, varying degrees of athleticism and upside, I think. But to me, the big impression from not only them, but everybody I've kind of seen in the linebacker class, but I know we're focusing on these guys today, is I just kept thinking, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Connor, like, I just kept thinking these guys just need a lot of work. I don't see anybody that was like on the level of the top guys from last year.
No, I completely agree with you. And when you originally reached out to me, I was glad that those are, you know, these are some of the guys that you wanted to talk about, because I had watched at least a handful of them before I went on the trip. And as I do sit here and say, oh, I wanted to go on a trip for 2 weeks and clear my head from football, one of my biggest reading materials I brought with me was actually Phil Steele's college football preview. So I didn't stay too far away from the loop, but when you look at these linebackers, it's interesting to see how college football is trending and setting a trend with athletic guys that don't have a ton of familiarity with the position often coming out of high school. They're more athletes just being transitioned to a front seven spot. And a lot of them are players that were either running backs or defensive backs that are slowly bulking up throughout the college process, throughout the weight training process, and learning the position instead of really, you know, seeing what's in, I guess, in front of them on the offensive side of the ball, running back, or who they're covering against the defensive back. They have to learn how to stop the run in different alignments in a lot of different spots, and just reading what the offensive line is going to do. And I think that's why we see a lot of struggles with them as underclassmen in terms of, you know, what's in front of them before the snap, but the athleticism often makes up for it after the snap. And I think that's what makes this class so interesting, is because there's so much on the line year three. Like, this time last year, I don't remember personally talking about Roquan Smith as an elite linebacker prospect.
Right.
And it didn't take him very long to burst onto the scene and say, yes, I am. Now, on the flip side, I don't see a Roquan Smith or Tremaine Edmonds kind of guy in this class that's going to be a top 20 pick. But as always, we always make the disclaimer, a lot can change.
Yeah, that's a very good point, actually, because you're right. I mean, people talked about Edmonds because he was a freak, but nobody was talking about Van Der Esch, and nobody was talking about Roquan Smith, really, either. And Rashawn Evans had started, like, what, two games? The two playoff games?
Right.
Dan Hamilton got hurt. Yeah,
So it was like, they did kind of come out of nowhere. And it is a very mental position. And the athletic upside is something you always keep tabs on, and then you see if they develop the other aspects of the game. Do I think these guys are going to be on their level? I don't right now really think that it's going to be quite to that extent, but, you know, it could definitely happen. I mean, you know, look, just thinking of Devin White, for example, like, to me, he was the most impressive of the three. And I'm excited to hear what your guys' thoughts were on the order of the three and kind of where they stacked up in your mind. But
You liked Devin White the most out of the three?
I did. I liked him the most. Did you? You liked him the least, right?
I'm just guessing. No. Different. No, I didn't like him. I didn't like him the least. No.
We all like TJ Brunson the least.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I liked White the most, and I came out of this thing probably with middle of the second round kind of pre-summer grade on him. Sure. Now, I've always made the disclaimer that I think my grading scale is a little harder than most, but I just think – and I've talked to – I actually polled a couple scouts and execs about this when I was done watching him, and I said, is he already being looked at as the Roquan Smith level? And I got a lot of hell no's off the top, really, to be honest with you. Yeah. I got a lot of, no, he's not a first-round player yet and can make that jump. And listen, I was talking to you about this, John, that he was playing running back just a couple of years ago. Yeah. So there's the chance. Right. The ceiling is all world because the athlete and the splash plays are absolutely brilliant. He was my favorite player out of the group of this three, probably about on his own tier, I would say. But that, once again, just to say it, that doesn't mean he's a first-round player right now. He has a lot of jumps to make because when a player of that caliber is getting washed out often, it's a little bit of a concern, and it's something you say, what is his exact role at the next level? Well, I think we need this third year to really figure that out.
Sure. No, I when I watched White, it's kind of just to what you were talking about earlier, with these guys being more athlete than necessarily football player right away. This is the kind of same thing that I talked with people a lot when Jerod Davis was coming out of Florida. Davis was a really, really athletic linebacker, but people's criticism of Davis was that he didn't really know what he was doing. He looked out of control, sometimes just didn't have a grasp for what was going on as the guy in the middle. And I kept trying to tell people, like, this is the way that it's built, though. Like, he is supposed to just be an athlete in the middle for Florida's defense, and he's just supposed to be a guy who could go sideline to sideline. Like, I really don't know how much they're teaching him to be better at certain mental processing and things like that. He just kind of has his assignments, and they basically just tell him to be a better athlete, be around the ball, and that's kind of it.
That's what Darren Lee was at Ohio State. Same
that, too.
Thing.
Yeah. That was another thing. And so, like, when you see those guys, you like the athleticism, and you kind of want to bet on it, but there's also a little bit of a risk that you have to take. For White, I see kind of the same thing, but I don't know. I just did not see enough of an impact player from White just because he seemed, what you guys are saying, I think I trusted Davis, and I trusted Lee even more than I trust White to be a more physical linebacker at the next level. I just don't know. I think that White gets caught up a lot in blocks. I think he gets caught up a lot when there's like all kinds of clutter going on. I don't know if he can like sift through it fast enough. I just don't know if he's big enough to do that. And he plays in the middle because all the good linebackers in college football all play middle. So could normally
they're moving
in four,
him to weak side late in the
normally
year,
they're in 4-2 anyway. Well, I was going to say he's going to play weak side in the NFL.
So
like if he's playing weak side linebacker is obviously the one that has the more space to deal with. You're playing more of a coverage role at times. You can be more of an assignment linebacker when it comes to man coverage. So, like, that's fine. And I actually think that, like, that's White's role and that's good. But I don't know how good he will be even as just, like a will linebacker. Because, like, some of the best will linebackers, that, like, for example, like Levante David, who plays for the Bucs, he's not going to be Levante David. So, and a lot of other impact middle linebacker or impact linebackers in the NFL, I feel, are more of a middle linebacker role. So I don't know. I really wasn't super impressed with my first watch of White. I really wasn't. I thought that he just got caught up in too much of the clutter in the middle and that he wasn't really a force enough to get off blocks.
He's a top five pick. Trevor, I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody says top five. We can tell right now.
Man, you better be really damn good if you're going to be a top five pick at linebacker, right?
But, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
That's the problem, too, that we go down to now, positional value. And when you look at White, it seems very comparable to Shaq Thompson, who you could probably make the argument maybe was overdrafted spot. Right. So, and another, these guys are so common nowadays. Stephon Anthony is one where people love the athlete and forgot that there was a point of his Clemson career where he was benched because mentally it wasn't all there. And then he ends up sneaking into the first round and really fizzled out in New Orleans
really
quickly. Yeah, he fizzled out in New Orleans in 2 years. And when it comes down to it, these are such projection players, and White is kind of the face of that in this group this year.
Right. I'm excited to see what happens with him developmentally, because I do think when you look at traits like, you know, like range, which I think is very important for, if you're going to, if you're talking about you, what you want in a first round linebacker, range has got to be up there. The problem is it's only as good as the other traits that you have. Like you, like if a linebacker's smart, but has no range or athleticism, you know, it's great that he's smart, but he, you know, he's probably not going to be a first round or maybe a second round pick. And so you kind of have to have a good mesh of the traits, at least to some degree. Like Reuben Foster had it all. Like he was violent. He was a great tackler. He was physical. He was aggressive. He was athletic. And there was that amazing mental processing. I didn't think Roquan Smith was quite there mental processing wise. Didn't really think any of the linebackers were in last year's class quite like on Reuben Foster's level mental processing wise, but he was still good enough there. And his range and athleticism were unbelievable to watch. I think White is a good athlete for sure. I don't know if he's like an amazing athlete, and he's definitely behind in the mental processing curve. So I totally agree there. Where I'm curious is that, did you guys feel like Devin Bush and TJ Brunson were further along or worse in that way? Or where did you see them compared to White and maybe compared to some of the top guys you've evaluated in the past?
I thought they were on a different level than White, and maybe just because I really fell for White's splash plays. And I think some of my concerns, even some of White's splash plays, he takes the wrong route to the ball, and he's so much faster and quicker that he still gets
right.
Which
I saw a lot of wasted steps with White.
Like it's a glass half empty, glass half full thing where you're saying, damn, he's that kind of athlete to get there, but damn, he should be getting his ass chewed out, because if he wasn't that kind of athlete, that play can go for 60 yards the other way. So when you look at Bush and Brunson, I don't see the same physical profile with them as White. And I do see some of the technically flawed aspects in their game where I'm saying, are these guys going to get washed out in the middle when they're stationed there? But on the same time, I do see some plays against, you know, whether it's a slip screen or whether it's getting to the outside. And I think with Brunson, I was actually impressed. There's times where he does fight through a little stronger. He's just, at the end of the day, it looked like he played at 230, 235 pounds last year. I've heard some stuff that he's expected to play at 240, 245 this year. So maybe we do see some, you know, a little more physicality to be able to get down in the hole and take on those kind of blockers. But once again, it felt very similar to White all over again, where we're starting to bet on athletes and they're not necessarily traditional linebackers with the instincts you're hoping for.
Yeah. I want to get to Devin Bush and talk about him a little bit more, but just from TJ Brunson, John and I were texting earlier today as I was watching his tape, and I said to him, Brunson has negative instincts. that's the way that I saw, because I thought that he was slow to move where the ball was going. I thought he was slow to move off the snap. There were a couple of plays where, like, I can't remember which team it was in each instance, but they would run a play action, and the ball was clearly going to the right of the field. And Brunson's man, who like would have been his man if he was involved with the play at all, was on the left side, but he was actually blocking the whole time. And Brunson literally just like runs up to him. And it's like they threw the ball to the halfback, or it was a screen or something, and Brunson's nowhere near the play because he didn't even pay attention to where the ball was actually going. It wasn't that good of a fake.
He has no feel.
Zero feel to it. I think Brunson is all size and athlete. They just kind of have him in the middle because he's got the length. I think he's got the arm length, and
he looks good.
Body
pants.
Right. I think he's got the body and the length to maybe, you know, play that linebacker position, rush off the edge sometimes if they want him, rush up the middle. But I mean, it just, in terms of like linebacker instincts, knowing where the ball, like having a nose for the ball, quote unquote, still here scouting terms, I did not see any of that from TJ. And on the other side, we talk about Devin Bush, I saw a lot of that from him, but.
I didn't really see it from either guy, I didn't think. I mean, I Bush definitely more so than Brunson seems more natural, but
I legit thought that Devin Bush had really good linebacker instincts.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe
what game convinced you? What game did you like?
Was it Ohio State? I watched the Florida game, I watched the Cincinnati game.
Okay, we watched totally different games.
What was the other game that I watched? And then there's third. I watched three of the games. I can't remember what the third one was. So those are the three I watched. The Florida game was actually his first game of the season. And I wonder if he got hurt last year and they just like he just kept playing through it, because there's times in those Florida games where he's blitzing, he's in pursuit, he's going almost just like 110 miles an hour, and I'm like, okay, this kid can play. And then some of the tape later.
Are you sure it isn't just because Florida's trash?
No, Florida's definitely trash. Florida's definitely trash. Don't you don't got to convince me of that, buddy. I watch every Florida game. I can tell you they're trash. But I saw him like make a lot of impacts in a lot of those plays, and I think the thing that I noticed the most is I thought he had really good instincts. I thought he always knew where the ball was going. I thought he took on blocks well. I thought he kept his eyes up through chaos when there were big piles in front of him. He was good off the blitz. He could drop back into coverage. So I don't know, man.
In all or nothing, they didn't talk about him getting hurt when I watched All or Nothing. So I don't know.
Okay. I didn't watch All or Nothing.
So I watched Penn State and Ohio State. Those are the two that I watched.
Okay. I will watch those next.
I always try and see like best competition, like whether they do against, because I mean, if I have the opportunity and
I didn't love Ohio State.
Yeah. I didn't love either game really.
Yeah. So I didn't see Penn State like all. I didn't watch the All 22. I remember those games, but like, I mean, how many times are you gonna watch Devin Bush in the broadcast? That's the thing. And he does fly around and he does make plays. And I do think Trevor has a point where there is a lot of times where he knows where the ball is going more so than the other guys. I just wonder how we evaluate a sub 6 foot linebacker that is probably realistically 225. Like. Yeah. Is he an in the box safety special teamer at the next level? Is he just strictly a dime backer, or am I just being the old school scout and saying at that size there's no way? I don't know the answer right now, because this is a guy that was playing behind some pretty good guys on the defensive line. Where
it's true,
there's a lot of times where he has the space, and I'm saying, okay, well, some NFL defensive schemes will actually design it so you have the space. I know the Jets do that specifically for Darren Lee as much as they can. But sometimes that's not always the case, and it can make you look foolish. So he's a really tough evaluation right now. It's as simple as that. I don't think he's a top 50 prospect coming out of the summer, while some Michigan fans probably will say
his
that because they love his plays.
His dad's a coach there, I think. His dad like is like a part like an assistant there.
Is he really?
Yeah. His dad was a safety for the Rams and played for a while in the NFL, and then is an assistant. He's a coach there now, and he. I know, like, Bush lives on campus, but then, like, his dad lives nearby, and he'll, like, go and be with his dad for a while, too, and stuff like that. And I think, you know, just from seeing him on All or Nothing and seeing him talk and leadership and stuff like that, I think he's going to get a lot of praise from the NFL bloodlines and everything like that. I think he's going to get a lot of praise from NFL scouts and stuff like that, you know, coach's son, whole type of label. And he does have, I mean, that hustle and that desire are definitely there with him. Like, I like certain things about him for sure.
I really did. I thought I saw like a true linebacker from him. I think the biggest, I guess, question mark for me, and this is just one that will just, I think it just lowers the ceiling, I guess, is I don't know how much better he's going to get at like short area, like explosiveness. And like, that's it. So like, I think he's a momentum runner. Like when he gets his body going, I think he could get up to some decent speeds. You could see him go from sideline to sideline a little bit. But what's different with Devin White is that you can watch Devin White put his foot in the ground. Like Connor was talking about earlier, like he could get to places, even if he's got false steps in there, he can get from one side to the other really quickly because he can put his foot in the ground and he can go the other way. Devin Bush kind of, he's like I said, he's a momentum runner. He's got to like build up to it. And so that's the one thing that's really holding me back from really loving him as a linebacker prospect. I mean, the rest of it, I can tell I'm higher on him than you guys are, which is fine, which is totally fine. But that's kind of what I saw from him. He was definitely my favorite of the three that I watched.
Connor, is there anybody that you've watched so far that you've been like, other than these three, like outside of these three, that you've been really excited to kind of see where they go this season, or maybe a guy that you already kind of would pound the table for?
I watched for Stick to Football. I took the SEC and ACC, and I thought Shaq Quarterman has some really nice flash plays at Miami. Now, I don't think he's on the level of Devin White just yet. He's probably more in that Brunson and Bush kind of range, that tier two kind of range, where you're sitting there and saying, okay, these are probably day two players and right now, and you hope that they can eventually crack into really solidify themselves as top 60 guys, not just top 75, top 100 guys. I think with Quarterman, it's a little bit of a different mold because I think he's a little bit of a thicker player. I think he actually can sift through a lot of the traffic in the middle sometimes. And I do see instincts, and I do see that desire that we talk about where the motor really, really runs hot. The question is, what kind of player are we going to get in year three? Two-year starter, by the way, super productive freshman right away at Miami, which I really liked. I remember him as a freshman and saying, wow, when is that guy eligible? And it happened to be, okay, let's wait 2 years now, so we're finally here. So when you're looking at this group, just the groups I've watched, you know, because I know there's a lot of guys actually in the Big Ten that I will get through eventually, but for summer assignments, I had the ACC, SEC, and then, you know, for a guy like Bush, we've all watched the Michigan defense this summer because of Rayshon Gary and, you know, Winovich. There's a lot of names there, so you just happen to watch all of them. But, yeah, Quarterman, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I'm excited to see Quarterman. I'll actually watch him this week for the first – I saw a little bit of him when I was watching Joe Jackson. Didn't love anything yet, but I want to really sit down and do a deep dive on him specifically. But, man, I have the SEC for the Draft Network. That's what I've been watching. But I've also been kind of dipping my feet in all these guys, obviously, to talk about them on the podcast.
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
It's really hard not to.
You get excited and you want to see somebody. And Cal Krabs has the Big Ten, and he was talking up Patty Fisher from Northwestern.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes. He likes him, I think, the best out of this group.
Yeah.
So that's another one that I have to see.
Yeah. I watched a game and a half so far. I'm going to finish him up tonight.
Is his name really Patty?
I actually don't. My guess is I don't know what his actual
first name is. Or is it like a nickname thing?
You know what? It's going in the 2019 NFL draft database on the Draft Network as Patty Fisher. And it's going to be his official name. Because that's a first round name, folks.
Is it?
That's really good.
Is it?
Patty.
What do you want him to be called, Trevor?
Look, not every creative name is a first round name, John.
Oh, wow.
Cal already dubbed the hashtag Patty Wagon.
Well, okay, Patty Wagon is a good hashtag. That's a good hashtag.
That is really good. He's born Padraic William Fisher.
Is that his name?
Whoa, what's his first name?
Padraic.
Padraic.
That's a first round name right there, John. Right there.
We are longer calling him really Patty Fisher. I actually take that back. His name is Padraic.
I hope I'm pronouncing it right, but I don't know how else you could say that.
Sounds like one of those old, you know, Greek war heroes, like, or something, rode in on the Trojan horse or something. Jeez. Killed Achilles, one of those guys. That's what he sounds like.
It's great.
Anyway, we'll talk about Padraic tomorrow on the podcast.
Okay. All right.
I love that.
Connor, thank you so much for joining us on the pod, man. We really appreciate it. Guys, follow him on Twitter at Connor J. Rogers. Make sure you give him a follow. Always great stuff coming out of that account. And best of luck to you. Stick to football, taking off and everything like that, and all the work you do at Bleacher Report and finishing up the summer scouting. I know that's going to be a big focus for you coming up here. So thanks so much for taking time, man, out of your busy schedule. We really appreciate it.
Oh, of course, guys. It's always fun. I appreciate you having me on, and best of luck in 2 weeks with the Draft Network.
Really
excited to see it. So I'll talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, dude. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got more Breaking Down Linebackers on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. You keep it locked right here.